this truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is not Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I'm Josh Craddock.
And I'm James Craddock, Josh's dad.
And we are filling in for Bob as he gets over his annual laryngitis attack.
Today is Pearl Harbor Day.
Yes, today is Pearl Harbor Day, so we'd like to remember all those who were at Pearl Harbor and all those who gave their lives at Pearl Harbor.
2,700 men died there, men and women.
Yep, over 60 years ago. So this is the holiday season. We are officially in the holiday season.
We are. We are, but liberals hate the holidays. Have you ever noticed that?
That reminds me, the top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays. Denver Bible Church took out an ad, I think it was 2 years ago, in the Denver Post of the top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays. I think we should go over those. What do you think?
Sure.
All right.
We can do that.
All right, let's do it.
Top 10 reason why liberals hate the holidays. Reason number 10, Thanksgiving is mass murder for turkeys.
Okay. Well, liberals, they always go against good traditions. Bible teachings, they have the cure for liberalism. You know that?
Yeah.
It's good to eat animals. It's good for people because they get, I gotta say, they taste great. And they have a lot of nutrition in them. And it's good for the animals because animal rights activists, they'd annihilate 60 million turkeys yearly. Turkeys that would overpopulate in their natural habitat.
Yeah.
And these turkeys, they would have never existed if they didn't end up on the dining room table.
That's
so
true.
It's better to live and be eaten than to have never lived at all, don't you think?
I would agree with that, Josh.
Yeah.
Number nine. Too many SUVs traveling to grandma's house.
Oil. They're worried about the oil and
SUVs and drilling. And
yep, everybody hates those.
It reminds me of our bumper sticker, the one that says my SUV, and it has a heart, and then it says loves Iraqi oil.
That's a great
heart,
bumper sticker.
Iraqi oil. Number eight, why liberals hate the holidays. College bowl games encourage competition.
Now, I've never understood why liberals hate competition so much.
Well, because they usually lose.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. All right. Number seven. Millions of Christmas trees get cut down.
Oh, the tree huggers. Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of liberals don't realize that trees are a renewable resource. Okay. Because each tree has seeds. And, you know, they lay out the seeds and the seeds fall to the ground and they grow up into more trees.
Ah.
So if you cut down trees, it's okay because we'll get more trees.
Yes.
So.
All right. And top 10 reason number six why liberals hate the holidays. Number six is the pilgrims were thanking God, not the Indians.
Liberals hate anything to do with God anyway, which is really unfortunate, but they do. And they love anything to, help pagans or whatever. And the Indians were great, but that's not why the pilgrims had Thanksgiving.
No, I think they were bowing down to their creator.
Yes.
And the Indians joined right in with the pilgrims' religious traditions at that time.
Yeah. So, and Thanksgiving's a great day to go hunting, I must say.
Like we did.
Yes.
We had a good time.
That was fun.
Love those birds.
So what's our number five?
Number five, top 10 reason why liberals hate the holidays are Christmas lights waste electricity.
That's good. I love Christmas lights. We've got them on our house and on our tree. Christmas lights are good.
Yeah, they are good. Top 10 reason number four why liberals hate the holidays. The letters CHRIST are still seen in public.
Now, do we have to do a warning? No, I don't think so.
Not for that.
But yeah, that Christmas, they just, as I said, they hate God. They hate anything to do with God. They hate Christ. They hate Christmas.
And they've done everything they can to get Christ out of Christmas. And it's not going to happen because of, like people in our church and stuff like that.
Denver, that's a reason you should come to Denver Bible Church.
Okay.
All right, what's our number
three? Number three, the winter lull in global warming hype.
Everybody's worried about global warming. Al Gore, in that movie The Day After Tomorrow, if the Republicans get elected, this is what's going to happen, a global warming.
Yeah, and I noticed it was snowing in California a few weeks ago, and the frost line continues to come north down in Georgia, Florida, those states down there.
And how much snow did we get over Thanksgiving? What was it, about 8-10 inches?
8 to 10 inches.
Yeah, we got a lot of snow in our front yard.
Yeah.
So I don't, all the global warming people aren't out on the street corners. And
I'm all for global warming. It'll make the skiing a little warmer, you know. Like top 10 reason number two, daycare centers are closed.
Yeah, and liberals prefer kids to grow up in institutionalized daycares and government schools instead of having them be with their family and being raised by their parents.
Yeah, that's sad. And the number one top 10 reason why liberals hate the holidays is Christmas celebrates a birth and not an abortion.
Wow. Wow.
Well, that says it all.
Yeah.
That's the highest ideal of the hardcore liberals is to make sure that there's a lot of abortion.
Take away life instead of give it.
Yeah. Sad. So, all right. Well, I hope y'all enjoyed that.
And you should come to Denver Bible Church. And let's give out the number again. 1-800-8-NUR, 1-800-836-9278. Now, if you call into the program, we're offering a promotion today. You'll get one of our Christmas catalogs and a mini Bible study, including Coming Out of the Closet, Nicer Than God, Miracles and Healing, Judge Rightly Is Not Some Guy's Name. I mean, there's a wealth of learning in those. So call in today, 1-800-8-NYART or 1-800-836-9278.
And you can call in for the catalog and not speak on the show if you want, but if someone would like to call in and talk to us about anything or challenge us on any of our comments, we'd be happy to hear from you.
All right. Good one. All right. So should we go to our next story?
Yeah. For Dan Ryan's sake, let's do it.
Okay. In Florida today, a woman was charged after she hit three boys in her SUV. So let's read on. In St. Augustine, Florida, a woman ran over two teenage brothers and chased a third after they accidentally hit her sport utility vehicle with a golf ball in a parking lot, officials said.
That's a little bit of an overreaction, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Three words. Anger management. All right, let's continue.
That's two words, Josh.
It was a joke. Go. Okay. The boys apologized to Kathy Allen, 47, and were walking away when she made a U-turn, ran over a median, struck the teens, and chased a third before knocking over a light pole. A witness said Allen then got out of the car and smoked a cigarette while the boys lay on the ground in pain. So the judge that she was held with out bail on Monday on three counts of attempted murder, which is good, but
that's good that they got the charge right.
Yep, but I'm not going to say that the system works, because even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, and even if they're convicted, she is convicted, we know that she will live on.
Yep.
And we'll pay to medicate her, educate her.
Mm-hmm. That's sad, but
protect her, make sure she's cool in the summer and warm in the winter.
So unfortunately, that's the state of our justice system. It's no longer a justice system. It's just a system.
Well, that's true. Yes. Oh. Most people understand that after the OJ case.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do another story. This is Dateline today, or yesterday, December 6th, Charleston, West Virginia. A teacher faces a fine up to $1,000 and 90 days in jail because she propped open her classroom door with a rubber doorstop.
Now, when has that become illegal?
Well,
I mean, that's just weird. Okay, read on. I want to hear this.
Assistant Fire Marshal Charles Vaneter issued the state fire code violation citation and confiscated the doorstop during a visit to Mountain View Elementary and Middle School in Union on November 9th. A court date has not been set.
Okay.
Now, here we are back in the justice system again, and I'm thinking there's something wrong here.
Yeah, if they're confiscating a doorstop and they're letting murderers like O.J. Simpson go free, there's got to be a problem.
It's
somewhere.
Pretty scary. You know, these are the same people we're hoping are protecting our borders and keeping murderers off the street.
Yeah.
So let's go on. The fire marshal said that the corridor wall that contains the door is a smoke partition, and the door must be able to close if there is a fire to hinder the spread of smoke. He said not all doors in the building fall under that designation, so some can be propped open legally and some can't. The sixth grade teacher, Susanna Robinson, said her door was not labeled a smoke partition. Uh-oh, a bureaucratic slip-up. She said the windows in her classroom do not open. Do not open. Teachers have been told not to adjust the thermostat, and the room is too hot when it is filled with students.
See, there's another problem with public schooling. You get like 40 students crammed in there. It gets so hot, they have to prop open the door so they get a breeze in, and they get citations and get their door stopped.
They're not allowed to open the windows.
Or adjust the thermostat. Bureaucracy in action.
All right. Asked if he thought taking Robinson to court over the doorstop was extreme, the bureaucrat said, "You can look at it two different ways. From the public standpoint, yeah, I can see that. But from our standpoint, we're responsible for the safety of all the school kids in the state." Well, it seems like he might want to figure out a better system than frying all the kids slowly, than frying them quickly.
A deep fryer, yeah. So. Yikes. So that's the state of our justice system. Let's give out the number again, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And remember, if you call in, you will get one of our Christmas catalogs and a mini Bible study.
The phones are ringing off the hook, but go ahead and keep trying.
Yeah.
If you can't get through, just try again.
So, all right, let's go to our next story. Some U.S. troops captured bomb-making Iraqis in Baghdad. U.S. troops have captured 34 Iraqis, including 10 wanted for making explosive devices to attack coalition forces, the military said Tuesday. South of Baghdad, a roadside bomb killed 3 Iraqi National Guardsmen. So the war in Iraq is moving forward. We've captured a bunch of terrorists that would have probably used their bombs to hurt Iraq.
Oh, yeah. Given the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. They would have used their bombs to kill Iraqis that were on our side, coalition forces, Americans. So this is great. Several hundred U.S. and Iraqi forces arrested 20 suspected militants Sunday in the southern Baghdad district of Rashid following a short firefight, the military said in a statement Tuesday. In a roadside bombing, the Iraqi National Guardsmen were patrolling an area near Jabala, and an attack occurred, and the National Guard and other homegrown Iraqi security forces are frequently targeted by the insurgents, who accuse them of collaborating with U.S. occupation forces.
Now, this reminds me of a story of a few weeks ago where our military over there did a really cool thing. They invited all the people in Fallujah to come to a mosque to get free food. And when all the young males, Islamic males between the ages of 19 and 50 showed up.
For the free food.
They tested their hands for gunpowder and explosive residue.
Yeah.
And they caught like 50 guys.
Yeah.
It was really exciting. Good strategic move on the part of our military.
That is neat.
We really appreciate those guys over there doing that, including my cousin.
Yeah,
Scott,
so. Yeah, and isn't he going to send us a flag that was flown over Baghdad? That'll be neat.
Yeah.
So I'll have to hang up that on the wall.
That will be awesome.
Well, let's go to the phones. We've got several people on the phones. Let's go to Scott on line one from Longmont, Colorado. Scott, speak your mind.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Great. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Well.
Doing an excellent job, as always, in Bob's stead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Say, I hear Bob say often, and other people too, that even a stop clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
I wonder about a clock that's running. Is it ever right? Probably always fast or slow one way or the other, isn't it?
Well, that's a very good question. If you're looking at a analemma, which you're calculating sun time, and then you could also have an atomic clock, which is measuring the beats of the atoms,
right.
You could get pretty close, but you're right. You're probably either fast or slow.
I just wanted to throw a little fly in the ointment there just for discussion's sake, that's all.
Josh, you're kind of an expert on time. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well,
you're not prepared to
I'm
do that?
I'm not prepared to do that. I'll probably write a pamphlet someday and just hand it out or something.
Okay.
That'll work.
Yeah. So.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and right. Make sure you stay on the line, and we'll get you one of our catalogs and mini Bible studies.
Looking forward to that. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank
Scott.
You.
Bye now.
Great call there from Scott. And that is a very interesting question. So I'll give you out the
that
number.
That freed up a line.
Yep, that freed up a line. So you can call in 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. You can try again and get one of our Christmas catalogs or mini Bible studies.
And we will throw in a mini Bible study.
Yep.
Free today.
Now, what other ones do we have? We named a few of them. We have a couple others, I think.
We have about 10 little Bible studies. One's called Coming Out of the Closet.
Yeah.
The 66 books of the Bible, which is very interesting, giving a summary of each book of the Bible.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. That is a great Bible study right there.
We have Should Homosexuals Adopt? That's an interesting subject.
Ooh. Okay.
Kind of gross, but it's interesting.
Yes.
And then The Attack on America, A Christian Response. And
that's really very important nowadays because we're having a war on terrorism. And to understand that, this is a great Bible study, A Christian Response to the Attack on America.
Yeah. And a lot of Christians are confused about what does the Bible talk about government policy or should Christians have an interest in that type of thing? And I think protecting the innocent is certainly something Christians should be involved in and interested in, and that's the government's number one job.
Another one that we have is The Myth of Overpopulation. And then this is our newest addition to our mini Bible study series, The New Testament Support for the Death Penalty. It's a slight twist on it. It has a big picture of Scott Peterson's mugshot right on the front of it. And it goes through the New Testament support for the death penalty. At the beginning, it starts out with a question. Does the New Testament books or personalities support an execution? And the answer is surprisingly yes. Jesus, Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Hebrews, Revelation, and even an angel all support the death penalty.
Well, so, Jesus Christ submitted to the death penalty.
Yes, he did.
As payment for our sin and the sins of the world. And certainly that would lend some credence to the fact that God approves of the death penalty. Now, especially since he comes out right and says it for various types of criminals, including murderers, kidnappers, rapists.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Hey, we got another call. We should probably take it since free up the lines here. Pat in Denver, speak your mind.
Try line two.
All right, one moment.
Pat, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for your call.
Hi, this is Pat from Denver. I was just, it's not every day we get to hear somebody like Josh on the radio, and I was wondering if he could say his age and also talk a little bit from a father and son standpoint of how you may do things differently. There may be liberals driving down the road in their car thinking, man, this kid sounds really smart. I wonder what his parents do differently than what I do. And there might be some conservatives wondering the same thing. So I just wondered if you guys could talk a little bit about how you, if you do anything differently than, let's say, mainstream parenting, schooling, training, or anything like that. And I'm going to go ahead and hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks for the call, Pat.
Well, that's very Josh flattering Brown. Of you. I am homeschooled. I'm 13 years old, ninth grade. We're a homeschooling family. We have I have four siblings, and we're all homeschooled. And you may think it's difficult, but it really works, and I think it's better than anything. So.
And it's been a complete success for our family. My wife and I both do the homeschooling, primarily my wife, but I'm in there too, and it's a way of life for us. And we love our kids, and who loves them more than us?
Yeah.
Certainly not a teacher in a school that we could send them off, you know, as kind of a daycare type situation every day.
Exactly.
And in the public schools, it's gotten to the point where, you know, they're not even learning the basics. So.
Well, and you mentioned that you and Mom do most of the schooling, and yeah, and I even help with some of the younger
That's
kids.
Right.
Like I'll help two of my younger siblings do their math together. And just today, I was helping them write a report on bats because I was just finishing up my Eagle project, which I built bat houses, and they wanted to know about bats, and they were writing a report on bats. And so I helped them out and worked on their report with them.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of what else we do differently. We're Christians, and we read the Bible, and we believe God, and study the Bible.
We go to a Bible-believing church, Denver Bible Church,
yes.
Pastored by Bob Enyart.
Yes.
And I think that's our main differences.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think homeschooling really works, and if anybody out there is considering it, call in. We'd be happy to point you in the right direction as far as resources available, support systems. There's just a wealth of curriculums and opportunities for families and children to pursue the homeschooling avenue. Certainly, socialization is one of the best advantages of homeschooling. Our kids are socialized by people of all walks of life, all different ages. They can communicate with the young and the old alike, and they're not narrowed down to a group of 13-year-olds,
exactly.
Which generally kind of gravitates to the lowest common denominator when you get 30 13-year-olds together. So it's pretty neat. And
yeah.
Our kids are in scouts and swimming and soccer and church.
Exactly. A lot of people that criticize homeschooling mention, well, how do your kids get socialized, you know? How do they meet new people? And it's like, okay, that's kind of obvious, you know? We are in this world, you know? We go to church. I play soccer on my rec league, as Dad was saying, and I go to scouts. And, I mean, there's a wealth of opportunity.
Go to the grocery store.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not meeting people, but I'm outreaching to people right now. So, let's free up another line. Oh, okay. We
do have an available line. So
yeah,
if someone would like to call
line.
In.
All right. The number is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278.
And while we're waiting for the next call, we've got another story. This story is taken from the Drudge Report. And it's from Peachtree City, Georgia. The grandson of this really sad story. The grandson of former President Jimmy Carter has been charged with burglary and possession of marijuana. Now, you know, they say the fruit doesn't fall very far from the tree. And here we are in Peachtree City watching it happen. Police in Peachtree City, Georgia say 17-year-old Jeremy Carter broke into the house of a former friend and took a video game console over the weekend. Carter is the son of Jimmy Carter's son, Jeff, and a senior in high school, we're guessing public high school. Jeff says his son is innocent and will be exonerated. No comment from the former president. So there you go. He's been caught with some pot and he smelled of alcohol. And his father's going to continue to enable him on his path to destruction by saying, "My son is innocent."
Mm-hmm.
Now the justice system might find him innocent.
That is, that's
if
exactly
he hires,
right.
You know, a good enough attorney and grandpa's Jimmy Carter, inflation,
mm-hmm.
You know. So.
Yeah, as you're saying, justice system, it let go O.J. Simpson. They did convict Scott Peterson, but how much you want to bet they're actually going to execute him within, like, the next 5 years?
You mean before he dies of old age?
Oh, yeah, before he dies of old age in his
Let's pray that God's will be done and he is executed before he dies of old age.
Yeah, because God said, "Will you profane me, keeping people alive who should not live?"
Oh, do you want to do a Bible warning? podcast?
Oh, I'm sorry. We forgot to do the Bible warning. Warning, warning, warning. Will Robinson, there is Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. This warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered.
Okay, Josh. All right,
so now I'm going to go ahead with the verse now. God says, "Will you profane me, keeping people alive who should not live?" And he also says, "Will you profane me, putting to death people who should live?" So you got to make sure you're doing the right thing when you're executing someone.
So in our society, do you see any examples of where innocent people are put to death?
Well, there's 4,000 a day in abortion.
That.
I mean, that is right there. That is murder of an innocent human being.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how many murders does our other murders are there in our country every year? Do you recall?
I don't recall, but
around 16,000, I believe.
Yeah, and that's amazing because a couple of years back in L.A., they had I think it was about 10,000 murders.
They had
a lot of murders, and in comparison,
they had about 1,000 murders.
I think
the statistic you're trying to get.
Yeah,
to
I think
there.
So. I'm trying to recall. It was a while back that I heard this, but they had 1,000 murders in L.A. and at the same time in Singapore, they had 50 murders, and there they execute swiftly.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of interesting.
They have a swift death penalty.
Yeah. So today is Pearl Harbor Day, is it not?
It is, yeah.
There,
tell us about your trip to Pearl Harbor briefly.
Well, a couple years ago, we went to Hawaii and we visited Pearl Harbor and we went to the memorial, USS Arizona Memorial. And that was really, really moving for me. And it was really neat to honor those people that gave their lives and honored our country. So, that was really neat. We saw where all that took place.
Yeah.
And I studied World
War. USS Arizona.
Yep.
Underwater. We went out to that.
You could see it through
and
the water.
Most of the people at the memorial were Japanese, which was very interesting. Japanese tourists.
Yeah, I remember that. That was interesting.
And an old man actually grabbed Weston's little hand and held his hand during the show.
Yeah.
Before the presentation of the memorial.
Wow.
So.
Well, we don't really have any more to talk about.
I guess it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in.
And stay
tuned for more great shows.
Yeah. And
6:70 a.m.
Come out to 20th and Vine with the abortion protesters down at the abortion clinic. So remember.
Do right.
And risk
the consequences.
With all of your